I'm very excited about being here today. As you know, I always am. But the reason for most of my motivation is due to coming back from the Super Show in Las Vegas. I got to hang out with not only all the great clients that of Member Solutions and my friends, and I got to put faces to the voices and see people I've never met before, as well as establishing new clients and new contacts and seeing Joanne and all the crew at Member Solutions. So it was just great. And I went to go see the show Ka at the MGM, and not only was this amazing, it was something that I think is one of the most imaginative shows that I've ever seen. I just can't believe that there is a person out there that could think something like that up and actually put it on or put it into a performance. I also went to the UFC, and as most of you know, or the ones that have seen, it was a bit of a letdown. The fights were slow. Some of them were unusually boring. And other than that, though, it was great to actually be there watching it live and hanging out with a bunch of my friends and peers. As far as the show, the Super Show itself, I finally got to stand in a room with Chuck Norris, and this is one gentleman that I wanted to meet my whole life, and I got to take a picture with him, and it was really, really exciting. He was just an amazingly special person, and at the show, end of the show, he spoke about his martial arts career and his goals to help inner-city children through his martial arts program and kick drugs out of America, and he just seemed to be a really genuinely nice guy, and I hope one day I'm able to really get to spend some time with him on a more one-on-one basis. Now, I came back on Monday with energy, enthusiasm. I mean, I could hardly contain myself on the plane. I was taking notes, and I thought when I would get back on Monday, I was ready to conquer the world, just like most of you. I had many new ideas, new concepts, new theories on how I was going to approach my school. And to put it bluntly, I was fired up. And if you didn't attend the Super Show, you could equate this or compare this to being on vacation for a period of time where you finally get a chance to decharge. I mean, you get yourself out of the flow of what you normally do and relax a little, if that ever happens fully. And then you're able to get yourself back and relax. And then when you come back, you have that energy, the enthusiasm, the motivation. You find that when you take time to yourself, your ideas start to flow more. Well, the first day back, I came into my office about 8 o'clock or early in the morning. I checked all my accounts, my bank accounts online, and I have nine different corporate checking accounts between my real estate holding corps and my schools. And I realized that some charges were there that I didn't recognize, so I had to be online with the bank for over an hour. I had to put out little mini fires with some employee issues, people not doing their job, people who were supposed to do things that they didn't. I had to cover and double-check two of my schools that the head instructors of those two schools went away on vacation. And I was calling one school all day, and their phones were unforwarded. Usually they're forwarded to our school at the headquarters, but they weren't forwarded like they normally were. So I had no way to get in touch with them. Usually it would be a disaster due to the fact that no one is monitoring the calls, but normally they were sent to my headquarters, so we were able to answer the calls. But anyway, I didn't get in touch with those schools, and all of a sudden the fires and the little issues started to build, and I had a list of callbacks and a pile of mail almost as high as my desk, and it was sitting there for me to go through, and bills to pay, and that didn't even include my junk mail that some of my staff members go through and sort out for me. So, coming back all fired up, boy, I should say I'll never go away again. And the full steam ahead attitude went right out the window. I felt like going home, turning up my air conditioner, and just going to sleep and taking a nap. And this is how I get sometimes when I'm under a great deal of pressure. So I don't know if you guys feel that way as well, and I'm sure you do, because what I keep hearing is from martial arts school owners that it's just overwhelming to run a successful business. It's almost like a small mom-and-pop organization that makes a good amount of money is better than running this big, huge corporation or this big, huge empire that, you know, we tend to want to build. So I ask you guys here on the call, and I want to give you a list of three things that I think is important for you to do so that you could get a perspective on what we're trying to succeed at in our schools and what our ultimate objective is of being school owners. Where we want to end up in our lives, and how we want to see ourselves in 5 years or 10 years or 20 years. What's the ultimate goal? I mean, for me, I still haven't quite figured that out, but I think I'd ultimately love to be consulting full-time. When I say full-time, I mean using that as my only source of income while benefiting from my schools and teaching when I want, traveling and writing books, and to me, you know, helping people, more of a Tony Robbins-ish kind of self-help kind of person. And I've looked at myself and, you know, and I try to see clearly of what I want to do. But let's quickly go over three tips that I have, which kind of a bunch of tips included in them, for you guys to get it more organized and to be able to deal with things on a more regular basis without getting overwhelmed and fried. So here's number one. I suggest that you look at all that's going on clearly in your schools and label them as far as priorities and categories. So for instance, if you have fires, and I call them fires, are the mini issues that come up, the issues that come up during the day, and categorize those fires, as we call them, in different priority. So what's imperative that needs to be taken care of immediately? Like what fires need to be taken care of immediately? What needs to be done in a day or so? And what could be taken care of in a week? Also remember, there are many ways to get things done, and you don't necessarily have to take care of them all yourself. You could also deal with a lot of issues possibly via email or via a phone call. So you don't have to necessarily always set appointments and do every single thing in real time. If you're doing things on email, you could do them late at night or after hours after the studio is closed and so on. But you could also have other people handle specific situations for you that they're capable of handling. So number one is to decide on what you have to do and what others could do for you, and prioritize the things that are important. Don't let the little mini fires, the things that come up on a regular basis, get in the way of your productivity. Number two, I recommend getting yourself on a set schedule. And I have to tell you, this is probably the most A1, meaning the top priority and task. You need to take your tasks, the things that are important, and schedule them in your calendar as if you were to schedule a lunch appointment or schedule a lunch date or an hour to go to the gym. In fact, some of us don't even get to the gym or get to work at ourselves, so we have to schedule that time in on our calendar. I mean, literally block it off. Don't let anything get in the way. Never let anyone bother us. Never let our staff come in. Whatever it is, that's your time to get that priority done. For example, you would schedule in, let's say, on a weekly basis at a specific time, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 9 to 10 a.m. doing your 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 week calls. You may schedule in on a Tuesday and Thursday from 9 to 10 a.m. scheduling all your birthday party cards to do your birthday party cards for the month. You might want to do your stay in touch cards, your perfect attendance awards. You know, whatever you do, you want to set the task at a specific time and get yourself disciplined about doing it at that specific time. Don't let anything get in the way. I know that if you're in the heat of the most busiest time of your schedule, of your school, when parents are there and teachers are there and students are there and things are going on, you're going to most probably have to entertain some of those people by talking to them and dealing with those mini fires. So I suggest getting all your top priority tasks done when it's your least busiest time or least active time in your school so that you could concentrate on that. If you have a staff, I would suggest that either they do these specific tasks on a certain time, or you ask them to cover you so that you can lock yourself in the room in your office and not allow anyone to bother you and get you thrown off from what you intend to do on that day. Now, mind you, once you put yourself on a schedule, you'll find all sorts of time to get things done. And I have to say, for instance, if you were going to do birthday cards and you have, let's say, 50 people to do birthday cards for the month, if that's the case, you probably have a studio of around 350 students. If you're going to do the month of July and you have to write your birthday cards out and send them, if you get more done in 1 hour because you have no interruptions, you probably won't have to spend more than an hour or two maximum for that entire month to get that one task done. If you're going to do perfect attendance awards, it shouldn't take you more than an hour or two for the month. You know, if you're going to do your 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 week calls with messages being left on answering machines, you could probably get that done in maybe 2 to 3 hours per week. If you're disciplined, though, it can't be like maybe you'll do it on a Friday of 1 week, maybe on a Tuesday of another, maybe you'll miss a week here and there, because the things that you don't do build up. The things that you don't do eventually become big mountains, and then they become overwhelming to you, and they fry you, and then you end up not being productive in anything you do. For example, if you have, let's say, trial class calls, every day you want to verify the day, the next day's trial call. So if someone's scheduled to come in on, let's say, Friday, I want to call them on a Thursday. And I'll call them, let's say I'll do all my trial class calls from, let's say, 3 to 3:30, a half an hour before my studio opens up, and I'll get that all done. That's my discipline. Nothing gets in the way. I know that I'm on my way to the school. I know that my first priority is going to be my trial calls. Nothing is going to get in the way. And if I stay on that schedule, you will not believe the amount of things that will get done on a regular basis. Now, the third thing is, decide on your priorities. You know, what are you doing with your life, really? We need to understand what we want. We have to have a vision. And if we have a vision, a clear vision, we can build a better vision for our clients and for our students and for our employees. So, do you want to have the largest school in the world? Do you want to make millions of dollars? Or are you happy with X amount of dollars per month? Are you happy with grossing 50 grand and profiting 25 at 50% profit range? Would that be enough for you? You know, what would make you happy? So, and once you find that out, when you dig deep, let's say you meditate on it, you set your goals, you're going to be able to achieve them. Monitor what you want, and what you want in the future. You know, do a 1-year goal, do a 5-year goal, and do a 10-year goal. And then you have to stick to it. You know, don't spin your wheels in places that are not, that you don't need to have them spun. You know, don't spin your wheels on wasted time. I have a good friend, he runs a rather lucrative marketing business. He finds himself very regularly caught up in all the little mini fires. And so if I'm waiting for a job, that job may not get done when I'd like it to be done, because he's caught up in doing deliveries to non-profitable people. He's caught up doing ads for people that don't pay on time. And then I get put aside, or I may not get the priority service that I would like. And he might, you know, upset me as a client because he's spinning his wheels in areas that don't need to be spun. I remember sitting with my yoga teacher, who I haven't seen in a few years. He's 118 years old. While talking to him, I would see that and notice that he would just sit back in his chair and close his eyes. And I often wondered if he was ever asleep or falling asleep. But as I talked to him, it almost seemed as if he was nodding off. And then when I thought that he was asleep and I ended my question, he'd immediately answer me as sharp as a tack. He was fully focused on me and my question. He just didn't need to engage all the other wasted energy, like using the eye motions and moving his hands and shifting in his seat. He basically just totally focused on what he needed to focus on, all the other energy. And at 118 years, he's probably had good practice in this. He was able to store his energy. He was able to utilize it in the way that he should use it. And oftentimes we find ourselves doing things that we don't need to be doing in our school. I see it. I spent time with probably like 35, 40 clients at the Super Show. I did two different conferences. I spoke in a room of like 250, 300 people. Then I had a private little conference at the Member Solutions Suite. And I spoke with so many great people, and it was just amazing to me at how many people are still struggling with the most basic things. And it's really not a school owner's fault. It's the training of the discipline. And I'm going to go over that in a little bit, and I'm going to explain to you what I did to kind of shift my life into this discipline kind of manner without being this crazy time-managing, neat freak kind of person. I still was able to get a lot done, much more done than I ever did in my life. But before I go on, I wanted to, I know that one thing is you set goals and you have to stick to them, and you need to stick to those goals in order to succeed. And at the Super Show, Mike Swain spoke. And he, you know, Mike Swain, for those of you who don't know, owns Swain Mats. He's one of the most unbelievable Olympic athletes. He has a track record where over a course of almost 16 years, he was training for to be in the Olympics. You know, not just a one-time thing, but I mean like a period of time he was in many different Olympics. And his speech basically talked about how he became a coach for the Olympic team. And he noticed that there were people that ended up getting onto the Olympic team and then got lazy. Can you believe that they actually get lazy just being on the team before they even competed in the Olympics? And the way he put it, he says that people are happy just getting the Olympic jacket. They were just happy making it to that level. But once they got there, they lost their drive to stay on task and complete their tasks. They didn't give it their all once they were there. And to me, that was just unbelievable to hear, because like, why would someone train their whole life and shoot for a goal, get to that goal, and then become complacent and just sit there and not really pursue it? But you know what? It's human behavior. It's human nature. Many of us work so hard, and we get to where we got to go, and we just run out of steam. And sometimes I don't have it as well. I run out of the steam, and I just feel like, wow, you know, heck, I don't know what to do. And I know that you guys feel that way, and I know I feel that way quite often. You know, you got to deal with parents. You have to deal with students. You have to build your business. For me, I've been building my business for 15 years. I've gained notoriety as among consultants and school owners. I have a certain amount of money. I've bought a good amount of real estate. But I'm the type of person who always wants more and more, more success, more goals, more ideas. I want to help more people. But I have to tell you, sometimes I feel that I'm spinning my wheels. And, you know, I feel that I'm like, I have my head in a blender. It's spinning around. And every time I think I'm going to get a breath of fresh air, something else goes on. So I want to give you some idea, and I want to try to take some time to keep everything in perspective for you guys as school owners, new or old school owners, or not old in age, of course, but old in owning a school over a few years, from a small school 30-student operation to a 3,000-school operation, student operation. It doesn't matter, but I usually take time to spend time with my daughter. I enjoy movies and relaxation as well as fine restaurants. But, you know, you always end up taking those little vacations, those siestas away, but you always have to come back to the madness. So how do you stay motivated? And here's my story. Almost 25 years ago, I had a habit of getting angry when things didn't go my way. You know, I slammed, yelled, cursed, broke things. And I didn't like it when I acted that way, but I acted that way anyway. I realized that I needed to make some changes in my habits, and if I wanted to see and experience a different life, I had to create that life and be that life. So I began to train myself to act differently, to see things through what we call an entirely different set of eyes. Sometimes we see as black belts through black belt eyes. So I started to catch myself when I felt sad or upset or angry, and I recorrected myself on a continual basis. I wouldn't let myself fall into the pattern of giving myself an excuse, saying, I'll get to it tomorrow. I will be a better person tomorrow. I would continually put myself on the path. I found myself straying off slightly, so I constantly pushed myself right back on. I started studying ways of meditation and Buddhism, and I slowly met with Buddhist monks and became a person that trained with Buddhist monks, eventually became a Buddhist. But I remind myself that I wanted to be a specific way. If I wanted to be that way, I needed to create that way. So sort of like being plugged into the movie The Matrix or being in The Matrix, people need to think of a way and live that way and act that specific way. So what you want to do is, you know, what are the ways that you want to live and how do you want to act and what do you want to see? And once you establish those on paper, you'll be able to have a clearer perspective of where you want to go and how you want to do it. And until then, you'll be constantly in this blender and spinning your wheels and not knowing, because one day you'll be on track, next day you're off. One day you'll be 5 steps forward, next day you'll be 4 steps back. And what you have to do is keep it in perspective, actually, of how, you know, what is the thing that's going to set you back? Like, what are major fires in your life? You know, what are minor fires? You know, what are the little things that you could easily put out? You know, how can you handle things by putting certain specific systems in your school? I'll give you an example. I have a good friend. His name is Joe Puglio. He's a Member Solutions client, and he runs American Jiu-Jitsu Centers, a rather successful school. He pretty much was monumental in my paradigm shift as far as growing my school from a small operation to a big operation. He actually at one time came to visit my school. I was teaching about 30 students of hardcore mentality at the time. And he looked at my school, watched my classes. He was impressed by our techniques, impressed by what we did. But then he came up to me and he said to me, Ali, are you hurting people or are you helping people? And I said to myself in my head, and of course not answering him, I said, of course I'm helping people because I'm training warriors, you know. I'm teaching people how to fight and how to be able to take pain and so on and so forth. And then he came back and he said to me, he says, what about the people that you aren't able to get that mindset into? The accountant, the lawyer, the doctor, the out-of-shape mom, the young kid, the shy kid, the overweight child. And he said, if we're not able to reach them, then there's a mass amount of people that you're turning away from the martial arts, that you're turning off to the martial arts. So I went home a little angry, but then I opened my mind to that kind of concept, and I thought about it. And I said, wow, I have to make a shift in who I am and what I am, if I want to succeed by achieving my goal, and that goal at the time was to teach as many people as I could in the martial arts and help them and benefit their lives. Well, lo and behold, 15 years later, my school's grown into 1,100 students, 4 locations on Long Island, and 1 school in Bermuda, and I'm able to help these people. And not only have I impacted their lives, but I've impacted thousands of people's lives that have maybe taken a year of martial arts and quit, but have remembered some of the lessons and the spiritual, the lessons that we teach in our class. So for you as owners, and I have to be empathetic and sympathetic towards the frustrations that people have as school owners. You know, it's funny, if we sat in a room and I brought up a scenario that said, you know, Mrs. Smith came in and she said blah, 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 how many people have had that situation? Everybody in the room would raise their hands if you've been in business for any period of time. We'd all have the same similar situations, just with a different face and a different name. So we've gotten to the point in our staff where we literally will, you know, say, I had a problem with Mrs. Smith, and I'll say, what happened? And my staff will say scenario A or B or C, and we kind of know it. We don't have to spend an hour talking about the specifics and the details and the things that go on, because first of all, we don't want to waste our time in areas that we know are just a total waste of time, and we don't want to waste our time saying things that we already know. So we found a system in order to get through this pretty quickly and come up with a solution to be able to solve those problems and make them work for either the student or ourselves as school owners. So what I'm saying to you now, and before I open it up for questions, is that I want you now to analyze and look closely at what your goals are, what you want to be, where you want to be in 4 months, in 6 months, in a year. What are the things you're going to do to put those wheels in motion? What are you going to do to get from step A to step B, from step B to step C, and so on? You know, in my consulting company that I have, where I do a more concise kind of curriculum for business owners, I did it that way for the simple reason that, you know, the scenario is like this. We go to the Super Show this weekend, and everyone is like loaded up. I mean, I saw people walking out on Saturday like zombies with bags and bags of material. This one bought that new gear. This one bought this new software. This one bought a new kick pad. This one is involved with a new, licensing program. And they all walk out of there with the most incredible hopes. What happens is you come screeching to a halt when you dump it all out on a table and you don't know what to do with it. You know, unless it's a franchise kind of mentality that you bought into, really it's going to be nothing more than just another system for you to implementate and get something that you need to work on and something that you need to put extra effort and heart and soul into. So to me, that's where we get involved. It's like taking a whole entire box of puzzle pieces without a picture of reference and throwing it on the table. And what we're trying to do is plug in all the corner pieces and eventually get all the connecting outside border before we can connect other pieces. So what do? We look for points of reference and colors, the pieces that look like the same color. We look for pieces that have a similar style picture on them, and we try to place them. Often we work on martial arts schools this way. There is no real plug-in kind of step-by-step system other than my own consulting system that we use. But even for the members that are on my consulting system, they get overwhelmed. They see, you know, 20 objects, and maybe they can only in their own mind get to one of them. And then once they get to that one and they get involved, they get thrown off by other things, those mini fires going around. And it may take them 5, 6 weeks, a month, 2 months, 3 months to get one little system in place. But if they don't have the system in place 100%, what happens is they end up running into a situation where it's never working at full efficiency, so they'll never get the full benefits out of it. And what will happen is that these school owners will constantly be frustrated because the results are not, they're not jumping from level to level at a high rate. They're very small, and they kind of drip in student after student, and they also evaporate the same way. So you could find yourself at getting caught at, let's say, a level of 50 students for a long period of time, and unless you institute a whole new mindset and a whole new mentality, you'll never grow from that specific area to the next level, so to speak. You know, I'm stealing my own catchphrase. Well, anyway, I want to take a little time, Joanne, if we could. I've just been blabbing. I mean, it's a run over from the Martial Arts Super Show, but I've been talking and talking and talking without getting a break. So anybody out there, if we could open up the lines, just any comments, questions, frustrations that you have, and then we could go on a little bit more. So if we could open it up. Does anyone out there would like to comment or have a question? Anybody there? Okay. You know, I find this interesting because I was speaking at another gentleman at the Super Show who listens to my conference calls, and he, his name is Dwight Woods, and he says sometimes we feel like we're the only two or three people on the call. So it's interesting to know, and I'm hoping that maybe the reason why you don't have questions is because I'm explaining myself well enough. Is that the case? Does anyone have any questions on some of the things that I've gone over?
No.
Not at all. Okay, so I'm doing a good job, I guess. Either that or I'm boring the hell out of you guys and you all fell asleep. Okay, so Joanne, let's lock it back up again if we could. I'm sorry, and then I'll continue on. Okay, so getting back on the idea of developing these systems within our core program of our school, we want to look at it as if we were building a foundation. Now, I always give people ideas based on my 2-4-6-8-10 week calls or my referral systems or our perfect attendance awards or whatever the case may be. But just so you know that within each system is a group, an entire group of other systems. So I'm going to give you an example. For instance, on referrals alone, people say, I want to start a referral program. And I always spell out my main core for my referral program. In other words, what I do when a student refers a student to our school, and we've, on our referral system, have achieved almost 400 to 450 students last year have signed up in our school based on referrals. So people say to me, wow, what do you do? And I tell them the referral system and I spell it out. But I have to be honest, referrals are not just one thing. So I'm going to go over all the different things just so you can get an idea of how in-depth the system may be. And then I'll also be able to let you know on how I get around it. But so a referral could be a client, which is an existing student. They can refer another member. We can ask that existing client if they have siblings, parents, mother, father, grandparents, cousins, brothers, and sisters, whether they're interested in doing our school. So it's clients and then their siblings. Then we have special events. Our special events are things like a buddy week. Many times I talk to people about the buddy day, that, you know, and I always discourage them from doing one day every 5 or 6 weeks, one day every 2 or 3 months. You have to have something that is a more ongoing for a term period, so we do an entire week every 5 weeks so that people are able to fit it into their schedule. The biggest problem with buddy days is that you may ask someone to come down on a buddy day and they can't come and then they have to wait an entire month or two to get back in. So we have a buddy day, we have birthday parties, we have special clubs, we have school visits, movie nights, parents' night outs, business appreciation, and we do gym classes in our schools. Now, it doesn't end there because we market our referrals on a regular basis. So we send a series of 5 postcards to the clients' homes, and each postcard is different, explaining all the different avenues on how people could get referrals. Because a common response from a student may be, I don't know anybody that wants to do martial arts. None of my friends like martial arts. I don't have any people that I can refer. So basically, we start opening up the floodgates with ideas. You know, you could talk to the PTA. You could talk to your baseball team. You could talk to your kids in your class. You could ask your cousin, brother, sister, uncle, aunt. You could go to the supermarket. You could leave a business card at your local deli that you like to go to. And I go on and on, and these are what our postcards say. But we also ask during our 2-4-6 week calls, and not only do we ask, but we may suggest and we may educate our clients on what a referral is. So this is one system that's interwoven, which I would call a web system. We also promote guests, instructors to come in, and then we invite guests down from that to our special program. So we may have a guy who came in for grappling, didn't actually join our school, and then next time we have Dan Severin in, we may call him up and say, hey, I know you enjoyed the grappling class. We'd love for you to come down as a guest or as a discount. And we kind of tie that in, so that's also a referral. And, you know, we have many, many different things that we do, but these are just one set of systems. Now you say, wow, Allie, how the heck am I going to get all that done? You just said, talk to the clients, talk to the siblings, do a buddy week, have a birthday party, do special clubs, do school visits, movie nights, business appreciation, gym classes, and special guest instructors for special guests. That's a lot of stuff. We consider that one system. And over the last 3 weeks in our email, and I believe it's coming out in this week's email for Member Solutions, is the actual checklist that we use for our program manager. Now, remember what I said about being disciplined. If you have a list of all these 10 or 15 things that I have just talked about, you can easily write them on, let's say, I don't know, put them on in a folder on your desktop of your computer, and every morning when you open up that desktop, it has this list of things, and next to each item, you put a date as to when they're going to be done or when you did them last. And that way, you're able to make those calls, make those visits, set up those appointments, set up your buddy weeks, and so on and so forth. We literally set up our calendar for the entire year, and it takes about maybe, I don't know, 3 weeks to get it organized and then another week to get it printed. So we set our calendar up for the entire year. So it takes guesswork out of when we're going to do our parent night out, when we're going to do our buddy week. It's on the calendar for the students to see. And we print up 2,000 calendars and we give them out to all our students and parents. Remember, there might be a mom and a dad that are divorced, so they both need calendars. And, you know, we organize ourselves in such a way that it takes a lot of the guesswork out. The thing is, and I'm not trying to paint a picture that I'm this really organized, efficient person, because I'm lazy by nature and I love to delegate and I love to get people to do things for me because I don't want to do them myself, especially when you're burnt out. You don't want to do anything. So if you're able to just follow up and follow through, then it's a lot easier for you to stay on task. So what I would suggest is that you assign certain things to certain staff members. And if you don't have staff members, maybe put together a committee of people that might be interested in helping you, like a local mom, a group of moms that might be interested in helping you let people know when the schools close during the snow or when you have a holiday, or helping you distributing your newsletter. And another thing is that a newsletter is a good avenue to get people on target. So you might want to think about doing a hard newsletter that you could mail or hand out, or what we did, we shifted to an e-newsletter. And then I actually shifted away from the monthly, quarterly newsletter to a weekly or bi-weekly email where I just stay in touch and send out positive stories and help our clients. So without getting off task and going on a tangent on all the different things that I suggest, we're back to the same thing about how do we maximize our time. I would suggest to you guys, and you know there's 168 hours in a week, you know, if you find out what you're doing in those 168 hours, you know, every single task, you're going to find that you're wasting a lot of time somewhere. For example, I'm going to get my calculator out and work with you guys as we do this. And let's just say that you have 168 hours and you subtract, let's say you're teaching, and most schools don't teach this much, but let's say you teach 40, you personally teach 40 classes a week. That's 40 hours, so we deduct out 40 hours. You have 128 hours, and let's say you sleep, I don't know, let's give you a 7 hours a night sleep, right? Let's just be crazy, and let's say 10 hours a night sleep, and you do that 7 days a week, and we'll deduct out 70 hours. And let's say that we eat for another 8 hours a week. We eat an hour a day, or, you know, let's say we do another 10 hours. So we deduct out 10 hours. That leaves us 48 hours still to get other things done. And let's say that you, I don't know, relax another 2 hours a night. So that's another 14 hours. So you get to watch TV 2 hours a night. That's 14 hours. And let's say you spend an hour preparing to get out of your house, going to the bathroom, brushing your teeth, and so on and so forth. Let's say we do that for an hour a day, which we don't, but that's another 7 hours. That leaves 27 hours. Do you see my point? Is that there's so much time, and we want to find out what are the sponges to suck away our time. We want to find out what's the thing, what are the tasks that we need to do, and what are the things that are draining us of our productivity or our time that we could be most productive. We want to find out what that is and what it is that's getting in the way. And here's a little tidbit of information. By the way, we're still left with 27 hours. So let's say we do all our 2, 4, 6, 8 calls, referral calls, and marketing and client contacts and birthday cards and postcards and a mailer. And let's say we do that for 4 hours a day. Let's say we do it for 2 hours a day. That's another 14 hours. So we still have 13 hours of time left for whatever. Now, I know it's easier said than done, but if we really honestly track our schedule, you know, are we spending 20 minutes on the line at Starbucks every single day waiting for a coffee when maybe we could buy a coffee machine and put it in our office? You know, are we waiting online at the bank, you know, for half an hour a day when maybe we could talk to our bank manager and find out if there's an express line or if we could do a night drop or we could do transfers online? You know, are we wasting time talking to parents that want to tell us stuff that have no value and no meaning to your school? Yes, you do have to have a connection, you do have to gab, but do you sit there for, let's say, you know, 2 hours a night or 5 hours a week talking to Mr. Smith or Mrs. Smith about why little Johnny didn't do his homework? You know, is that your job? And if it is, are you going to benefit from being a coach to that child? Are the parents going to take it to heart? You know, are you wasting time on emails? You know, this is the biggest thing nowadays. People are sitting in there, and I check my email all day long, but I dedicate a certain amount of time just to email. I will not allow myself, and for a while I wasn't even doing email at home. I shut my computer off, and I refused. I said once I got to my office, I would do an hour in the morning, an hour in the evening, and I do most of my consulting online, so that's 2 hours of important consulting time that I have with my clients, and I answer member solutions clients' questions, and so on and so forth. So where are the, what's the sponge that's sucking up your time? You need to find that out. So here's what I was going to say before. Our little tidbit of information is to, I would keep a weekly log, and I would only do it for a period of 2 weeks. And if I could give you a homework assignment, I would do it for 2 weeks. For example, I am writing a business book, and I wrote the book, and it basically comes from most of my consulting emails, and I diaried what I did for 2 days. And it was quite amazing once I saw, you know, that diary. It was really quite tough, and let me read this to you real quickly. One of my days on a Monday, I woke up at 7:30, I picked up my book, The Walmart Way, and I read it for a little while, one half hour. At 8 o'clock, I took my shower, got ready. By 8:20, I left my house. At 8:20, I was en route to the bank, made a return call on my cell phone to my realtor. He called while I was in the shower, and he's currently listing 3 of my offices that I have for rent. And I wrote on the thing, let's keep our fingers crossed. I hope that it's going to rent. But he seems to be ridiculous with questions. He's always asking me the same questions. And I have to remind myself to be patient. So by 8:30, I made my deposits in the bank. At 8:50, I picked up my laundry. I discovered this really nice Chinese laundromat, so I don't have to ever do laundry again. I just drop it off and pick it up. It takes me all about 10 minutes. At 9 o'clock, I picked up my breakfast. I had a bagel with jalapeno cream cheese and a coffee. At 9:15, I arrived at my office. I settled in and organized my desk. By 9:20, I was done eating my breakfast. 9:35, I checked and finished all my emails, and I do a great deal of consulting online, as I said before, for takingittothenextlevel.com. So it's imperative that I check this throughout the day. I checked my online banking, reviewed my 9 corporate accounts. By 9:45, I wrote this section in my diary. At 9:45 a.m., I labeled direct mail pieces. Now, believe it or not, I'm the owner, and I did my own direct mail pieces because I have a pet project to try to track and determine what we're doing in our schools based on direct mail. At 9:50, I cleaned papers off my desk, I shredded papers and organized to prepare for my Monday meetings, which I do a ComStat meeting. We call it a Command Statistics Center, where all of our staff gets together every Monday. And we just call it that because I got it from the Mayor Giuliani book and it sounds kind of cool. At 10:15, I organized my desk again and started preparation for my staff meeting. I organized my age-specific trial class evaluation forms and made 8 photocopies to give to my staff so that they could see it and give me input on it. By 10:30, I finalized my meetings for my martial arts school staff and had it ready and waiting on the chairs for them. At 10:45, I started my meeting with my store owners who run my store at touchazen.com. Kim and Chuck are their names. If you ever need someone really great to help you with martial arts supplies and you want a one-stop shop for every equipment supplier, touchazen.com or touchazen over the telephone could help you with that. But anyway, I met with them, and at 11:20, I ended my meeting with them, my store personnel. I took a few minutes to prepare, use the restroom, get ready mentally, and I started my staff meeting at 11:30 with my school owners. I went over in my staff meeting with them stats, the finances for the week, what we're doing as far as marketings. We also cover victories of the week, goals, ideas of the week, as well as teaching schedule over the next week, and it all went really, really well. The staff meeting ended at 1 o'clock. Wow. At 1, I went over all these issues I'm having with my workman's compensation insurance and the policyholders and so on. That took me about 40 minutes. I contacted my insurance broker, and I wrote down in my notes that I'm at a loss right now until I find out what's going on with him. At 1:45, I checked and did some more consulting emails, and I followed up on them. At 1:50, I worked on my business book, and I wrote and tweaking some items in the business book. At 2:10, I took off for lunch. I went to the local diner to meet a friend, and at 3:15, I left en route to go to my Port Jeff school to go teach my black belt club, and I rotate each month from school to school. At 3:40, I arrived at my school. It takes about maybe 30 minutes to get there, and I prepared for the classes. To begin at 5, I helped clean the school, explain about visual merchandising to my staff there, helped dust. I listened to a few of my staff members making phone calls to see how they did, and my one staff member runs my Port Jeff Long Island, New York school. Was calling off a birthday party flyers. He had done a birthday party recently, and they signed a waiver and questionnaire, so he was calling those students, thanking them for coming to the party and greeting them and inviting them to our school. By 4:40, I was dressed, and by 5 o'clock, from 5 to 8:45, I was teaching my Black Belt Club classes, mingling in the lobby with parents, upselling some books and meditation CDs that I have, as well as products, such as added guest members for my Black Belt and Masters Elite program. At 8:45, I left to go home and pick up dinner. I had Chinese food that night, and at 9:15, I ate and I talked to a few of my friends on the phone. At 10:15, I watched TV, read some more, and settled in for the night. So, do you get an idea of what went on? So, Joanne, I'm going to open up the last 15 minutes of the phone call. We'll just keep it opened up so that everyone can talk. And so do you have an idea of what I'm doing and what you could be doing? And if you keep track and you journal what you do, you could find where there's a lot of wasted time. And I think that this is very, very important for you to journal. And I would actually journal from the step day when you get up in the morning, the minute you open your eyes, to the minute you go to sleep, and do that for an entire week. Literally write down every single step that you do. You turn the key, you turn off the alarm, you answer the phone, you do your callbacks, you clean the bathroom, you make sure that the floor is neat, you call your students or whatever, you greet your staff as they come in, you do a quick little staff meeting before class starts, and et cetera, et cetera. Not only will this work as a journal for you to find out where your 168 hours have gone, but you'll also be able to see where the time is being wasted in areas that are not productive to the growth of your school or to your goals and your future goals. Okay, I'm done talking for a little while. So, Joanne, let's open this up for anybody. If there is anyone out there and any comments or questions or criticisms or ideas or things like that, I'd love to hear from you right now. So we're open right now to hear some people, live people on the line. Anybody?
Brent Chiari?
Yes. Oh, how are you, sir?
Hey, it's Dwight Woods.
Yes, I know. I recognize your voice. And we were talking about how we only sometimes feel like we're the only ones online, right?
Yeah. Listen, I just want to say thank you for reading that entry from your journal. I mean, that just gave me an idea of exactly how to do things.
Oh, really? Okay, I appreciate that, and I hope that works. That's actually going to be in my book. I'm going to do a complete week of what I do. And it's not an original idea. I stole it from Donald Trump's book, The Art of the Deal. And if you read that book, it's amazing to see what this guy gets done in a week.
Mm-hmm.
It's just unbelievable. It's just like, it's amazing. And I'm sure your day looks just like that. It's just that if you don't journal it, you never know.
Right.
So what idea did it give you? Tell me how did it help in any way?
Say that again?
You said it gave you an idea. What idea did it give you?
The thing that I haven't, it's just seeing how you move from thing to thing, you know, I mean, complete with times. I usually just start my day with what I'm going to do at the office.
Okay.
You know, but seeing how you, what you do before you get to the office and how you have all of that, pretty concise.
Yeah,
right. That's helped a lot. I mean, but I try to work from a list of things also.
That's great, and that's how you achieve a lot, right? You have that checklist of things to do.
Exactly. Yeah.
Do you prioritize your tasks as far as like A priorities, B and C priorities?
I used to do that, but it got to be a little bit too much. I'll tell you, this is pretty funny for me. My priority is the first task that makes me uncomfortable.
Right.
Right, and I just go from there. When I look at the list, I go, okay, what's the one thing here that I don't want to do?
Okay.
And then that becomes thing number one.
Great. Okay.
You know, but one of the other things I learned from Dan Kennedy is, like he says, he'll have like maybe five number one things.
Right.
You know.
Well, you know what? That's okay, though. You see, the thing is, like, even with the Franklin Covey, Stephen Covey systems, is they have your tasks like an A, B, and C priority, and then you number prioritize. So you'd have an A1, an A2, an A3, and then you have a B1, B2, B3, and a C1, C2, C3. And an A priority will get top priority. It's what we call our wildly important goals. And you see, the many times people don't move forward in their lives because they simply haven't set the top priorities enough and have given them enough time. So let's say, for example, and this is a wild goal, that someone says, I want to become rich and famous. And their goal is to become rich and famous. So they say, okay, what's your first priority on the path to fame and wealth? And they'll say, well, get a job. You know, okay, well, what kind of job? You know, well, I just need a job right now. And, you know, we need to find what are the tasks that we're going to do consistently on a regular basis that are going to be the ones that are going to shape and mold your future. So I agree with you that we should always, as well as being a martial artist, always conquer the things that are most uncomfortable for you, because those are the ones that usually by normal people put aside. They don't do ever. But I found that when we have our priorities, and let's say, for example, it's to increase enrollment in our 3 to 5 year old age bracket, and that's our priority goal, then we have to spell out those goals. What are we going to do on a daily or weekly or monthly basis to get that task to come true? So are we going to deliver 1,000 flyers a week to all the nursery schools? Are we going to just deliver 1,000 flyers specifically advertising our 3 to 5 year old enrollment to a 3 mile radius within our neighborhood? And then that would be a priority where you would do it Monday, Wednesday, Friday from 9 to 10, no matter what. Doesn't matter rain, sleet, snow, or hail. No matter what's going on in your life, if you can't do it, you'd find someone to do it for you. Or if you don't want to do it, you would delegate it to another member. But it has to be done concisely, disciplined, and regularly. Because if not, what we do is at the end of the week and the end of the month, we look back going, wow, well, we did a spattering of this, a little bit of that, and we never drove ourselves, pushed ourselves forward in the goal of getting ourselves, you know, our main priorities done. So that's why they do an A priority and then a B priority and a C priority. Because what we do is we tend to work from our last. For you, you're one guy out of probably like 100 that actually has a list of things to do. And I found that people actually add things to their list of things to do just so it looks like they've accomplished a lot at the end of the day. I even find myself doing that. But we need to work on those tasks that are super priority tasks that need to be the ones that are going to get us closer to the goals that we have set for ourselves. I know you probably do that, and I'm just kind of reiterating on that fact for the ones that don't. Does that make sense, though?
Yeah, it does perfectly. One of the other things that I do is I have a sheet of paper called the Dream Catcher.
Right.
And if something, you know, if I have a thought or if something comes to mind, I'll make a list of that. And then the following morning, I go over the dream catcher list and decide whether or not it's going to become a task for that day.
Well, that's great. I love that. That's a great idea, and I like the whole title of it, too.
Yeah.
I actually have went from paper to a little handheld digital recorder that I could download onto my computer because I used to, you know, find myself coming up with ideas. You know, you think of things while you're in the shower or you're driving, and then they just, you know...
Exactly.
So if we capture those ideas, some of those ideas have made me a lot of money, you know, and a matter of fact, one of those ideas, the brainchild, was taking it to thenextlevel.com, and it was something that I just came up with, and I said, you know what, I should start something like this, and then I did, and look, it's grown to something that's pretty viable, and it's exciting. So those things are important, and that's a great, great idea for everyone else. Thank you so much for sharing. Anybody else want to share with us out there? No? Okay. Well, thank you, Sensei Joy, for being on the phone with me today. And I appreciate if there's anyone out there that you guys are listening and all the people who are going to listen to this on archives. I'm also quite honored about, you know, all the people at the Super Show that said to me, you know, I listen to you every day on my way to work, and I, you know, I've read your emails, and I've really gotten a lot of insight from it because, you know, I basically just share my life experiences. Like I had said to you that I, you know, shared this day in my life with what I got done, you know, some people might say, wow, and other people might say, wow, he spent a lot of time going to get Chinese food or sitting there talking to whoever, you know. So if you guys could look at that week, the 168 hours in the week, and you could delegate that time out, section it off and say, well, this is my family time, this is my workout time, this is my business time, this is the time I'm going to relax. And then just try to track yourselves and journal your day and then journal your weeks. And not only will it be a great lesson for you, but it'll also could turn into your training matrix, your training book for your employees. And I've said this before, your employee manuals will come directly off of your how-to list, will come right off of the things that you do in class. And then you may look at it and say, after a week, you might say, wow, it seems like every day at 5 to 5:45, I don't know, I'm at the bank, let's say. At that point, you might say, well, if I highlight all the things that I could delegate out, how much more time will I have in the day to do other things like I had said before that are your main priorities? Every single week, if you're not moving forward, and you're standing still, you're going to end up people are going to pass you by or you're moving backwards. So what we need to do is find out what is it going to be that you want to concentrate or the things that you need to do to stay on track towards super growth in your school. Now, interestingly enough, all my clients that are on Next Level that are boasting 30%, 50% growth are the ones that have taken and blocked out time their day actually do and practice what I'm explaining to them to do on my Taking It to the Next Level site. For those people that haven't experienced that success, most of those people on my site are saying, well, I'm overwhelmed, I have Aya, Atma, Atta, Mass, and I can't get to all of this stuff. So they don't say, okay, I'm going to read a magazine a week and I'm going to institute one idea a week. They basically just get caught up in it, and it's like being in a blender with all these magazines and turning it on. You're nothing but like this, you know, you're spun around with all this stuff. It actually becomes a deterrent, and it becomes negative, because what happens is it gets you so overwhelmed and so burnt out and so disappointed that eventually what will happen is it'll just end up making you go backwards rather than go forwards. So I hope today's call was good. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you continue to enjoy the things that I have, and I just want to share. My ultimate goal is to help and, you know, be able to see the martial art industry grow, and I want to see school owners really experience the lifestyle that they deserve by helping people. I mean, altruistically, we need to be the warrior saints that are out there really helping mold people's lives, you know, making sure that we walk the walk and talk the talk. And so many times and too many times too often I see myself in Vegas and, at the Super Show and going like, I can't believe, I thought that guy was a holistic spiritual individual and he's just spent 11 hours at the crap table wasting money, drinking up a storm, cursing and doing all sorts of things. And I'm going like, we need to walk the walk and talk the talk and realize that we are, you know, in everyone's sights, you know, so our students look up to us and we have the power to, you know, to help people. As we say in my school, gain the power to change your life forever. Well, we're doing that on a daily basis, so we have to take that responsibility serious. And the better we run our schools, the more professional we are, the more people we can reach, the better it is for society. So that's my ultimate goal. And again, if you guys ever want to email me at Renshi, L-I-Ninja, that's R-E-N-S-H-I-L-I-N-I-N-J-A at AOL.com, Renshi, L-I-Ninja at AOL.com, or you can get in touch with me on Member Solutions. And every month I do 3 days of conference calls. Next week on Wednesday the 19th, I'll be doing one from 10 to 12. If you got this on the archives and you're going to hear this a month or so later, just call Member Solutions up and get involved with the SEP program, the Client Education Program, or get involved with doing some one-on-ones with either myself, Melody Schumann, Kathy Marlowe, and some of the other new consultants that have just come on board. I want to thank everybody for being here. Thank you, Joanne, again, for this opportunity. And everyone, enjoy and, gain the power to change your life forever. Have a great day.
Thanks, Sally.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.